50 and over singles swipe right too. Episode number 116. I get you dancing to the dicky 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 to do. This is mine. Expect more and pay less at Target. Are you looking for electronics for that perfect Father's Day gift? Then you gotta shop Target.com. You're going to save $70 on the Apple Watch Series 1 starting June 11th through to the 17th. For 2 days only, you listeners, that's from June 16th through the 17th, are going to save 30% off women's, men's, kids' sandals, and flip-flops. This is the code that you're going to use, so get a pen. Sandals30 at checkout, right? So if you want 30% off all the sandals and flip-flops, for the summer, use this promo code SANDALS30 at checkout. And for those of you who have a bun in the oven and are shopping for the little ones, Just One You by Carter will be 20% off. And that's starting June 11th through to the 17th. For easy access, find the shopping Target links and all the promo codes located in the show notes right there on your mobile phone. So if you have an iPhone, Android, or even your desktop, you can find it. But there's kind of a catch, because you can only see it when you subscribe to the podcast or if you go to the keepit100girl.com new website, and you're going to find the Target shopping link located under episode number 116. I'll give you more than you ever need. Welcome back to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast, or you guys are probably saying, well, you welcome back, you Nina. But as always, thanks for joining me today for 50 Shades of Cray Cray. It's been kind of cray cray busy in my own life, not relationship wise, let's get that straight, but business wise, it's all good. So my name is Nina Babel, and if you're joining me for the first time, I help both men and women. And today, especially for you men out there, celebrate embarrassment in their lives. So this show is dedicated to empowering men and women who are too shy, nervous, or embarrassed to ask, talk about sex, dating, love, all that stuff. Women and men express all of their personal bloopers when it comes to telling the truth. Nothing but the truth. The whole truth. The friggin' truth. Jaw-dropping truth. Even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. So, where have you been, Nina? Yeah, I know. But look, I just hired a team. That's the upside. So, yes, I am releasing some of my apersonality tendencies. Mainly so Nina could focus on my book and my podcast especially. But speaking of focus, I got some news for you guys. And this is part of the reason I've been kind of MIA these last couple of weeks. But I'm launching a live show this Wednesday, June 14th. And it's called Lovegasm. Love is a mental illness. Did you know that? But this is what I want you to do. I want you to follow me on social, right? You're going to look for me using this handle, at Nina Babel, right, on Instagram. You're going to look for me on the Keep It 100 Girl podcast Facebook page. You can connect with Nina Babel on Facebook or even on YouTube. But we're going live 7 p.m. Eastern. And even if you folks who are sleeping around the world and might not be up and you missed the live version, then you need to catch the replay. So follow me on social so you're tuned in to either the live show or the replay. Because you know I keep it real and true. All right, Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100? My hand is raised. How about yours?
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I need somebody to take care of me. Yeah. I need somebody to watch after me because I shouldn't be left by myself. It's hard work, you know, and it takes a lot of effort. And it's a lot of, the whole first date thing of going out with people, and either you don't like them or they don't like you, or maybe it's a timing thing or whatever. But there's a lot to this. And so you have to have an open mind, and you have to say, I'm on a mission. I have to do this. It's a numbers game. I'm going to have to do 100 dates to find, you know, 3 people that'll go out with me. You know, when you're on a dating site, you're both looking, at least. So at least that part of it is, out of the way. You know why you're both there. And then the rest of it is just, how do you attract that other person? How do you get their interest and that sort of thing?
So peeps, I thought it would be fun to get some insight on the 50 and over crowd. How they do, how they date, how they think. And you know what? Some of it is not too far-fetched as you might think. And for some of you women out there who prefer to date older men and seek them, whether it's in person or online, you might want to take a listen. And you know what? The 50 and over crowd, they also walk the single AF road too. It's always, always, always refreshing to hear from the other side, though. When I say that, I'm referring to these men. And this episode is from a man's point of view. It's a combination of funny and lessons learned. Walter is 50-something and dating. Walter is very, very experienced on both sides. And what I mean by that is he's been married twice and dating and single. Actually, longer than he was married. All those years he was married. So that's what you're going to listen to. Walter has been dating on and off since 2001. I know you're calculating, you're computing, and you're wondering, married twice, single, dating on and off, huh? Exactly. Let's learn more about Walter before we get into the whole online dating combo. Again, we're going to flip the script and talk about the crazy episodes or Walter episodes and the degree of wackoness, as he puts it, women really have. I think the kicker here is how much Walter can take and his tolerance level, especially when it comes to online dating.
I think that all of us are kind of crazy in our own way, right?
Yeah.
And I always say that women are wackos, right? And that, you know, it's just a question of what the limit is of wackoness that you can stand, right? And so if you can handle a woman that's fully wacko, then go for it, right? If you have a little bit more or a little less tolerance for it, you're going to be, you know, in a world of hurt like me. Right. So, you know, you find out what the wackiness is and then you have to make that decision. Well, can I stand it or not? And so I'm sure it's the same way on the guy side. And sometimes I feel really sorry for women because I know how some guys are. And I keep thinking, man, I'm glad I don't have to live with that guy, you know, because it would just drive me crazy. And but just to show that there are some, you know, there is equal time here and that, you know, there are some crazy women. So I think I've told you both of these stories, but the one that, you know, I always tell, there's a funny story and then there's the lessons learned story, right? And really these two happened a while ago, and up to, you know, ever since then, these two stories happened, it's been just kind of like an up and down, and maybe my filters are getting a little bit better or something like that, but I really don't have the extremes anymore of, you know, crazy, you know, people doing, you know, crazy things when we're out on the date and all that kind of stuff, to the point now where it's just more of a regular dating experience. But these two both happened back in 2008 when I was living in Pennsylvania. And I don't know why they both happened in the same year, you know, but they just happened to. And so, and I've been dating ever since 2000, well, on and off since 2001. Which was my last divorce, right? So, 17 years, right? 16 years, whatever. You know, it's been a long history here, and I've lived in different places around the United States, and have had the opportunity to also reach out because I, as an ex-pilot, I've got a different view of distance. Right. So I've gone to New Hampshire on a first date. I've gone to Houston. I've gone to Charleston. For me, it's part experience and something to have a story about. And then, you know, the other part of it is, you know, I don't believe that my soulmate is necessarily 5 miles down the road.
Okay.
So I give myself a wide berth when it comes to finding somebody.
The dating universe for Walter is where the crazy gets too much. Walter and his boys compare online dating notes all the time. Just how we do as women. We compare notes too.
It was funny because he's like 5 years younger than me. And so our dating universe overlaps, but luckily he's like an hour south of here. And so we really didn't have the same dating pool. But there were times when things overlapped and we go, well, yeah, if you don't want her, I do, right? That kind of thing. And then there are other things where we were both going out with people and we had gone past the second date into the third date. And he had actually found somebody who was almost like model material, right? But she was totally, I mean, she was really out there. Talking about, you know, the other dimensions that she had been in and what her lives were like, you know, in the past. And, you know, and I'm into past life regression too, but I just didn't talk about it the way that she was talking about it. And, you know, her aura and all this other kind of stuff. And he put up with this stuff mainly because he just wanted to be with her, right? And it got to the point where the crazy just got too much. And he couldn't handle it anymore. And it was funny because I was going through the same thing, only mine was a lot more subtle, where the person I was with would say things that would just, I thought were, you know, just crazy. Why'd you say that? And why'd you say it at that time? Right? And so we both ended up breaking up with our the people we were going out with at about the same time. Because they both got to the point where the crazy got so much we couldn't handle it anymore, and so it was funny that the guys actually had bets going on about who was going to dump their girl the first was it going to be me or him, because we were coming in every weekend, you know, after every weekend and telling them these stories, and you know, almost every night too, and so it was interesting to see their reaction to our stories, and we were kind of. We were telling that just so we could survive, right? Because when you're in the heat of these things, you you want to tell somebody because you're going, you're not going to believe what just happened to me, right? And so you love having a sounding board for all this.
What is the blessing or the lesson that has come to you, Walter, out of being divorced and kind of sets the foundation for your whole dating, as far as I could see?
I'm free.
I approach each one of these as a learning experience, right? And so you definitely want to take some time afterwards to, you know, reflect and to try to figure out what happened, you know, because there's two sides to every story, right? Nobody's purely innocent in anything that happens out there. So the idea is to, you know, learn the lessons that you can from it and then move on, right? Something funny I always tell my friends, you know, especially the ones with kids, is get married, have kids, get a divorce, because that way you got every other weekend off, right? And so that's what's nice. So you can use that weekend for dating.
So I think it's interesting also to know is what age did you get married and kind of what led you from here to your online dating and frankly, single life?
You know, I wasn't terribly young. Like my sister, I mean, she married her high school sweetheart like the day after she graduated or something. I mean, it was incredibly fast, right? And then started having kids. So took the pressure off of me,
right?
So that was nice of her. But no, my first one was I think it was 25. We were both in the military, and kind of a forbidden love type of a thing, because I was an officer in the Army and she was enlisted. And, you know, that's very verboten in the military, right? The whole fraternization and that kind of thing. What was great about it, though, was that we had a post commander who was a very, very good guy. I mean, salty old dude, real pure Army kind of guy. And he just came up to me one day and he said, look, are you going to make an honest woman out of her? And if you are, you need to do it fast. And I said, yes, sir, I understand exactly what you're talking about. I said, she's leaving the military, and then I'm leaving right behind her. And he goes, good, that's what I wanted to hear. Somebody's got to leave.
So now we're going to learn about Walter's first and second marriage and the lessons that came with it.
They always call the first one, you know, the training wife, you know, or the, you know, the test one. So, you know, that lasted about 5 years. And then second marriage lasted about 14 years. So I must have learned something along the way.
Right.
And so now I've been single longer than I was married. And so maybe I learned a very important lesson there too, right? Maybe be a little bit more selective, or maybe a little bit more careful, or whatever the deal is. But looking back on it, and I tell everyone, I would not want to have missed either experience.
Okay.
Beautiful women, loved them both, learned a lot of stuff, and we had a lot of adventures along the way and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, never, I would never want to go back in time and say, no, I wouldn't want to be married to them. I don't look at life that way. So, yeah, good experience for both.
So now we're in the single AF mode. And if you are not familiar with the term AF, for the anyone who's listening, it means as fuck. So what did your relationship teach you as a mature male over 50, right? Because my mother always said that men don't mature until they reach 50. Is that true, Walter? Walter describes the main difference between dating in your 20s versus your 50s. The things you take for granted that you don't really conceptualize, that you realize you got going on in your life, and then all of a sudden it requires a person to make many adjustments that they didn't really plan on. I'll let him explain that.
Last one, kind of interesting. Maybe the whole deal of you only know what you've got after it's gone. Type of a thing, where a very lovely lady, just a treat to be around and that sort of thing. We just had little things that just kind of drove each other crazy. And we actually had moved in together for a while and that kind of thing, and it just didn't work out. And so coming out of that experience once again, right, you learn a lot of lessons. And I think the main lesson here, especially for folks that are dating and they're older, you know, they're more mature or whatever, especially over 50, everybody has something that they're bringing along, right? Whether it's baggage or memories of someone, or, you know, a certain way that lifestyle that they have now and they don't want to give it up. They may have kids, they may have, you know, extended family that they're involved with or something. And it's just, you don't have all those things when you're younger. Right. And so when you're younger and you don't have anything except each other, sometimes it's a little bit easier because that's all you've got is each other. And so you work together harder and you enjoy each other, I think, a little bit more. As you get older, you bring all these things into a relationship that you don't really think about initially. But then when you're in that relationship, all of a sudden they start getting to be in the way all the time, or they start to interfere with what you're trying to do, or the fun you're starting to, you know, trying to have and that kind of thing. And I think that that's one of the things that really, I think, upsets a number of different kinds of relationships. I know that I was with a lady that had two girls, and the girls, you know, I mean, very important part of her life, but she was also an executive at the post office. And so that was important. And then she was a part-time trainer at, you know, a gym. And so that was important to her. So I was like priority number four in her life, right? And I have a bit of an ego, so, you know, I can't be priority number four. And so, you know, it just, that's one of the things that actually drove us apart. And she actually quit her part-time job thinking that that would help a little bit, and it did, but didn't help enough. So it's just, it's things like that, though, that you don't even realize that you've got going on in your life that sometimes interfere with a relationship that you try to get into.
No matter how old you are, the lesson here is to understand where you fall in your partner's pecking orders of priorities. Right, Walter? Walter will get married again. In fact, men don't really like to be alone, and he's the first one to tell you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I need somebody to take care of me. Yeah. I need somebody to watch after me, because I shouldn't be left by myself.
Which brings us back to his quest to get married again. Online dating. Everybody does it. Why does Walter love it?
I love it. I mean, you know, when you're on a dating site, you're both looking, at least. So at least that part of it is, you know, out of the way. You know why you're both there. And then the rest of it is just, you know, how do you attract that other person? How do you get their interest and that sort of thing?
Okay, so you all are waiting for the 50 Shades of Cray Cray. Well, it starts right here.
So this is back in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And I was living there, and it was I think this is actually 2007, and I arranged a date with a nurse from a local hospital. So we go to a place in Westchester called The Restaurant and The Bar. And I thought that was the stupidest name for a restaurant. And what was really funny about it is I'd been going to another restaurant right across the street from this place and had never even noticed it before. And so that kind of surprised me, number one. Number two, on the outside, it didn't look like anything. But once you got inside, it was a very nice bar. It was a kind of a Irish pub type of a thing. And so it had a beautiful bar, narrow building. So you had to kind of work your way around the bar. And then clear in the back of the place, they had a room that looked like they had just set it up to be a dining room with no thought at all, because there's no windows in it, no ambiance, no nothing. But as it turned out, they had pretty good food. And I didn't recommend this place. I didn't suggest it. The girl had suggested it to me. And so, you know, being the guy I am, I'm going, yeah, wherever you want to go, it's fine with me. So we ended up going there for dinner. Now, before we get started here, let me just say that my history up to that point was lots of first dates, very few second dates, and third dates were like non-existent. Right. So that was my history then, and it's my history today too. So it's kind of funny how it all kind of tracks through the years here. But anyway, so I meet her there, we have dinner, we're having a nice conversation, everything's going good, you know, and I'm actually thinking, wow, this one's gonna go to the second date. Just as I'm thinking that, she says, "Hey, we're almost at the end of dinner. We haven't talked about sports yet." And I said, "Well, okay, what do you want to talk about?" And so this restaurant was right outside of Philadelphia. And she goes, "Well, we're here in the Philly area. You're probably a big Eagles fan like I am. Probably watched the 76ers and all the other teams and that sort of thing." And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "I'm not really a sports guy. I said, I'm more like a business guy." And I said, "Besides that, I'm a Dallas fan." And she goes, "Oh my God, you're kidding, right?" And I said, "No, why?" And she goes, "I can never take you home to meet my family." And so I started giggling a little bit, and I said, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "You don't understand." She said, "We've got this basement set up with a little kitchenette. We've got the big couch. We've got the big screen TV. We invite the relatives over on the weekend. You know, we put on our favorite jersey. We root for our favorite player." She said, "We have a family friend who's a Dallas fan, and we're merciless on it." And so I'm just giggling by this time, right? And I said, "Wow, that sounds a little tough." And she goes, "You don't understand." She said, "I could never introduce you to my mom and dad." By this time, I'm like really laughing. I said, "Wow, you've got a really tough family there. I guess the date's over, huh?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm sorry, it is." And she stood up and she left. And so I'm sitting there at this table going, "Wow, I think she's kidding with me, but..." You know, and so 20 seconds later, I realized, man, she's not coming back. And she wasn't kidding at all.
Right.
She had left. Wow. You know, so then I'm waiting for, you know, for those of us old enough to remember, I'm waiting for the candid cameras to come out and catch me, right? but that didn't happen either, right? So, so I pay the bill, I leave, you know, and I'm thinking about it while I'm there. I'm thinking about it while I'm driving home. I'm thinking about it once I get home. And then all of a sudden, I realize I just dodged a bullet. Because I could have been stuck in that basement with her family every weekend. And then I go, win here, you know, bonus. So, so I was kind of relieved actually at the end of all that. But, so that was the first time that anybody's ever gotten up and actually left because of something I said. Usually, you know, you would think it would be something bad I said to them. You know, usually it's not a sports affiliation that would cause somebody to leave. But, And I kept thinking, why don't you have that in your profile? You know, like, you know, if you're not an Eagles fan, don't come knocking or something like that. But she did. So.
So now, fun fact, long distance relationships and demographics. When you talk about happy hunting grounds for dating. Walter has no boundaries when it comes to long distance relationships. So dating a woman in the South is obviously going to be different to dating a woman on the West Coast, the Northeast, or Midwest. Walter loves all his options.
There are differences, and I think that's one of the things that makes it fantastic. I think that one of the things I'm noticing, especially as I get older, is that people may have lived somewhere else and had gone through a divorce or something. But as soon as they get the divorce, it's almost like women are attracted like a magnet to southern states. So North and South Carolina, especially Florida. If I didn't have this job, I would be in South Florida now, because it is definitely a happy hunting ground down there. And it's just because of demographics, right? People want to move to where it's warmer. They want to get away from the snow. They don't have to worry about working, maybe, or maybe they've just given up on the whole work thing and said, well, if I'm going to have to work, I want to live in a good area, you know, or someplace I'm going to be happy with. I can go to the beach every day or whatever. And so, and you can do this on the dating sites, right? You can search in other cities and other areas. And I've just been amazed at not only the number of people in those areas, but also what I would call, and I'm just going to call it the quality, whether that's looks or whatever, it seems to be a little bit better. And so that would definitely be my next hunting ground, now or in the future. So, because that's where I probably want to, I probably want to move, and I'm going to be moving south, whether that's Charleston or someplace further south. And so, I'm thinking that that's why they're there. They're repositioning themselves to be in line for that guy that moves south, or, to say, hey, I'm already here, come and join me, or something like that.
For Walter, long-distance relationships don't faze him. And you know what? For some people, it's just status quo for his dating life, especially if you are a busy professional.
I think it has more to do with lifestyle. So I was a road warrior for a number of different consulting firms down through the years, right? So I was constantly on the road anyway. I'd leave on Monday, come back Thursday night or Friday, and my only time to really date was Friday through Sunday, in my hometown. And so I didn't really like being kind of bottled up on the weekends only. So wherever I was assigned as a, on a project or something, I would also date in that area too, thinking, well, I'm going to keep coming here for 6 months to a year. So if I find somebody, I'll just take them home, right? Or convince them to come home, or I'll move, right? Because once you're in the consulting business, really the consulting firms don't care where you live as long as you live close to an airport.
Right.
And you can fly out. Mm-hmm. And so I was open to relocation. I didn't have anything holding me in one particular area. And so it was easy for me to move if I needed to. And I actually met somebody in Chicago once, and she was moving out to L.A. And I was actually thinking about L.A., which is about the furthest thing from what I would normally think, because L.A. and New York can both drop off the map, and I don't care. But, I was actually contemplating moving out there with her. It was just too early in the relationship and that kind of thing, just didn't work out. But, I would definitely do that kind of a move, though, if it was necessary.
I asked Walter about his own pluses and minuses of long-distance relationships.
The minus, of course, is that, I would want them with me all the time. I would hope it'd be the same way for them as well. The pluses, I think, is that it gives you some space. You're forced to have some space every once in a while. The other good thing that a lot of people don't think about, and this definitely was kind of because of the consulting lifestyle, was that, you didn't have to fly home. You could fly someplace else. And, or you could take a rental car and drive somewhere if you wanted to. So if you wanted to, you could go to her place or she could come to yours or whatever every other weekend or whatever. But there are times when you just go, hey, don't go to our houses. Let's go to Houston, or let's go to, Las Vegas, or, wherever. And so it gave you those opportunities to go travel, maybe hit a resort, maybe hit the coast or something like that. And that was fantastic as well. So it gave you one more adventure to talk about at the end of the weekend, right?
One Date Wonders that started from 3 to 6 dates per weekend. But Walter does the math for us to tell us what it really does cost.
Let me just tell you that at one time, I was working with a group of, and there were 40 of us trapped in a basement of a building and working in basically a large war room on a project. And, you know, everybody can hear what's going on inside of there. And so people love to hear my stories coming back from the weekend, right? Because I was totally honest with these guys about how I was. So normally when I went home, I would try to do 3 dates every weekend. And then when I come back, I'd report in and tell everybody, you know, how they went. And I was honest, you know, the girl didn't like me, I didn't like them, whatever the deal was. It got to be kind of a routine thing, and the guys were getting a little bored with my, you know, 3-date story and all that kind of stuff. So one weekend I decided to blow it out. So I decided that I was going to have 6 dates that weekend, and I was going to, you know, have some real good stories to tell when I came back. Right.
What do you call 6 dates?
Well, see, that's the other thing that's beautiful about the internet, right? Is that you're not limited in any way as far as number of people and that kind of thing. So, so I set it up so that I had 6 dates that weekend. So Friday night, Saturday lunch, Saturday dinner, coffee on Sunday, Sunday lunch, Sunday dinner. And, what's funny is that I set it up. I had it working by Tuesday. The funny thing was, I couldn't remember any of their names. I couldn't remember where I was supposed to meet them. I couldn't remember any of the things that we had talked about. So what I did is I put a Google spreadsheet out there, and I had their names and the phone numbers and where we were going to meet. And then I had a little comment section, you know, so I could write in, oh, yeah, we talked about our kids, or we did this or that or the other thing. And the reason I did that is because I figured if I could get to a computer, I could get to that spreadsheet wherever I was in the world. And I could find out that information, because as I went from date to date, I went back and double checked that spreadsheet to make sure I was up on what the girl's name was and what we had talked about before, because my head was spinning, you know, about all these different names and everything else. I just couldn't remember anything. So what's funny, though, is as the week went on, we got to Wednesday and Thursday of the week before this big weekend, and 2 of the girls canceled on me. Well, I was able to fill the spot. So in another day, you know, I worked out 2 more dates. And so by the time I got home on Thursday night going into Friday, I had my full boat of 6 dates. And it was really funny, too, because I came in the next Monday and I told those guys, I said, you know, I think I've gained 3 pounds and lost $300 on this weekend just from all the meals I've had, you know, all the dates I've been out on. And that was about true, because I never saw any of those folks ever again. They were all one day wonders, and it never went anywhere for any of them. But it was definitely the experience, and definitely something to talk about.
Do men over 50 pay the bill regardless, or do these established women he dates offer to pay on the first date? Some people give themselves clothing, dining, partying, vacation allowances. Well, Walter has a dating allowance. Let's learn what all that means.
I don't think it's rule of thumb, but I'm old school, and I always think about what my mom would think, right? If I was inviting somebody out. She would expect me to pay for it, right? And luckily, you know, I have the means to do it, so, you know, I do. But what that means is that, especially with the number of dates that I try to do in a month's time, my dating allowance last year was about $12,000. $12,000 a month.
A month?
Yeah. A month, yeah. So, you know, $1,000 a month. Yeah, so... you know, think about it. I mean, you cannot get away with anything under $100, especially when you consider gas and dry cleaning and, you know, I mean, everything else that goes into this, right? I mean, try to take somebody to a nice restaurant for under $60. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
And I never met anybody for coffee, because the women that I was trying to go out with, they would tell me, hey, I'm not getting dressed up for coffee. And it's funny, because I had a conversation with some guys at work, and they were telling me, well, that's not the kind of girl you want to go out with anyway. You want to go out with a girl that'll go with you wherever. And I took that to heart. And so this year, it was really funny, because on New Year's Day, I got up and I wrote a brand new profile for Plenty of Fish and for Match and the 2 sites that I'm on. And I basically put that in there. I said, look, I am going to let you help me self-filter. You know, if I have to take you out to dinner, that's the first self-filter. You're not for me. right? If I have to do this, you know, because I said, you probably think I'm a cheapskate, but I actually put it in there that I spent over $12,000 last year in entertainment, right? And so, and remember, part of that too is travel, because I did go to Charleston for a date. I have gone to Ohio. I've gone, you know, three states away, you know, to meet somebody. So, you know, some of that is travel money, but most of it is just around here, Maryland and D.C. and Virginia. So, yeah, so it definitely plays for me anyway. I think that there are a lot of folks that try to do the Dutch thing, right? You know, where each of them pay half. And almost every woman that I've been with has offered to pay. You know, if I didn't want to pay it and, you know, to pay half or whatever. And I appreciate that. Right. But I always take care of it.
If we make it to the second date, it's a special, special thing for Walter. Look, after 17 years of dating and a lot of first dates, we did the math. That's a lot of interests and frankly, a lot of money, too.
At least 15 every month. So, you know, do the math on that, because I'm doing it during the weekend on the weekends. And yeah, I mean, it just kind of adds up. So yeah, well, just take 10, go low and take 10 a month. So that's 120 a year times 15.
Right. But so like when you do the math, 120, and what would you say out of that 120 that you liked out of the 10, did you really like any of them?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was interested in probably 80%, 70 to 80% of the women.
So what happened? What happens when online dating deal breakers actually come true?
And the thing is people come at this from different directions, right? And I think that some of this has to do with the fact we aren't always honest about things that are in a profile or things that we're looking for. And it isn't until you get to that first date that you actually go, oh, that's not really what I meant. Or, you know, I'm really not looking for that kind of guy. I'm looking for something else. And so, you know, they get there, they have that realization, you know, and so because everybody looks good on paper.
Right.
And then when you actually meet that person, then it's a little bit different. Luckily, I've never had a situation where pictures have been really, you know, bad, you know, like they're used a picture from 20 years ago or something like that. But I hear horror stories about that kind of stuff all the time.
The typical online white lies, photos, height, identity, they're all online dating deal breakers that Walter is going to shed some light on.
Women complain about it all the time. And the thing that gets me, and I heard about this just recently, probably within the last 3 or 4 months, where women were really starting to complain about guys lying about their height. And I was thinking, you know, that's a terrible thing to do, because number one, if you're going to lie about something that's going to take them a little bit of time to figure out, right? Okay. Maybe they'll learn to love you without, you know, and they'll forgive you for that little, you know, lie. The other part is that as soon as they step up to you, they're going to know that you lied to them. That's not the right way to start a relationship, right?
Yeah.
And so it just always, I thought that was kind of a funny thing for guys to lie about. There's no getting around that. If she's 5'9 and you say you're 6 foot and you're really only 5'7, she's going to know, especially if she's got heels on, right?
Right.
So she's going to be towering over you.
So after 2 marriages and a divorce and 17 years of dating, Walter's filter should be really, really fine-tuned, don't you think? And really sharp? Walter describes what the evaluation process means when you go from online to in-person dating or in-person to online. Doesn't matter.
You would think, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, I think that the craziness is out of there. And so it's more of a, you know, getting to know the person and realizing, you know, it has to do sometimes with open-mindedness. And it's hard to put that kind of wording into a profile without sounding weird. But, I mean, you meet somebody and you realize, oh, this lady's a grandma, right? She's not going to let me do anything, right? And she's not going to want to do anything. She sounds like she's all this fun, right? She does all these activities and all this other kind of stuff. But she's doing it with her girlfriend. She's not being challenged in any way, right? And so you go, oh, well, that person's not right for me. And then you meet somebody else, and they look like their picture, but they're not exactly like their picture, right? So there might be something that's a little different there. And I think I've actually been appraised, you know, for net worth at a dinner, right? Because I had a lady who was from Puerto Rico or something, and I know she was looking for somebody in particular, you know, and during our conversation, she just realized, hey, I wasn't that guy. Mm. And, you know, so I knew at the end of the thing that I wasn't. But it's interesting. You have to go through that date to get to that point where it's not just you doing an evaluation, it's them doing an evaluation of you too. And so it's got to work on both sides to have success, right?
All right. So we want to know, Walter, what comes with the territory when you're 50 and over? What are the expectations? Why don't you level set them for us?
And I had a general rule at one time that I wouldn't date grandmothers. Right. And I had to kind of throw that one away because my target audience is changing. So as you get older, you have to be very cognizant of that, right? That your demographic is changing along with you. And so I had to kind of throw some rules out, right?
In defense of the grandmas out there, you know, they want to have fun too. What was Walter's rationale for ruling out the grandma squad?
Well, I just didn't want to tell anybody that I was going with a grandma. So that was a big thing. But at the same time, once again, I didn't want them to be so old and set their ways. And, you know, now that they're grandmothers, now they're, you know, they have to, they have a certain mindset, right? And so they can't have any fun anymore. Right. And so that was my fear, was that, you know, they wouldn't be able to have any fun and that kind of thing. So, and they were going to dress differently, you know, the whole grandma jeans and all that kind of stuff. And I wasn't ready for that. So
we briefly touched on Walter, what's your type conversation? But to him, it's really bigger than that. He talked about those red flags. Every man over 50 should know, especially if you're here living in the Washington, D.C. area, otherwise known as the DMV.
No, I think I'm kind of open, but I think that, you know, I'll know it when I see it, that kind of a thing. Just the general categories of things, you know, as far as height and that sort of thing. I do have some red flags. A lot of people are always saying, well, you know, they don't want somebody who smokes and all this other kind of stuff. And so as an ex-smoker, you know, way back when, I'm probably a little bit more flexible with that. But I think the big red flag for me is somebody who is my age who has never been married.
Oh.
And my thing is, and Washington is full of women like that. I mean, all you got to do is go to the women's section of Match, and I think you can actually filter on it, but you will see hundreds of women that have never been married.
So,
and I keep going, well, what is it about me that would make you want to get married finally and settle down?
Okay, Walter, break it down. Break down your why.
Well, and I don't even get a chance to ask because I just don't go with them. I won't even try.
Oh.
Because think about it. I mean, they've never had to compromise, right? They've always done whatever they wanted to do. They've never, you know, they may have been in long-term relationships or something like that, but, you know, those may not have lasted very long, 6 years or 7 years or whatever. And then, you know, they're off to, you know, number 375 or whatever. So, I just didn't want to even go down that path. And I actually made the mistake actually of going out with somebody like that once. And I was saying something to her about red flags. And I said, yeah, I would never go out with anybody that's never been married. And she goes, well, I've never been married. And I went, damn, how did you get slipped through?
All right, so we have some lessons for you, and Walter has a 40 and over rule that he wants to share.
Yeah, I think if you get past 40 and you haven't been married, I'm, you know, the hair starts to stand up on the back of my neck, you know, and I'm going, why? Right? I mean, you haven't run across your soulmate or somebody you thought was your soulmate in that amount of time? mean, most people are getting married in, you know, their 20s. You know, I mean, today it sounds like people are waiting until they're in their 30s, but yeah, I mean, still, they get past 45, I really start to wonder.
All right, Walter, this is the clapback. Here's Stacy's 50 and over rule.
For instance, talking to a 53-year-old today, you're 53. No offense, you shouldn't still be on the... I'm just not there. I'm just not ready. I'm just chilling. Like, were you chilling into grandfather stage?
My turn, Walter, because this one is not a one-way street. In fact, it's even a bigger red flag for women than you realize.
Maybe they're career people or whatever, right? And that's fine, you know.
But I think if you use the same logic and flip it on a guy who hasn't been married at 45, I think there's more, it's a bigger red flag because men have more options than women. Like the pool gets smaller, right? Starts to get smaller after you graduate from college.
That's what I hear. I would love to think that that's true. You know, and I keep thinking that the longer I last, the more valuable I'm going to be, right? I'm going to be like wine, right? So all I got to do is outlast all these other guys that have died with early heart attacks and all this other kind of stuff. And pretty soon I'm going to have the whole pool to myself, right? But that has not been the case so far.
What's your 50 and over pool like of women? What are the scenarios? Let's keep it 100. Let's keep it real and true.
I would never do anybody that hasn't been married, so they're right. Going to be one of those above, right? So it's going to be divorced or, you know, out of, you know, whatever number of relationships, and then, you know, something where somebody has died, you know, hubby's, you know, died because of one thing or another. It could be an accident. It could be something medical. I mean, all kinds of reasons, you know, and even... you know, ex-military type guys, right? Somebody was killed overseas or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's all kinds of things that could happen.
The online opportunities get even smaller beyond the age of 50. Walter says if you choose online dating, look, don't wait until you're older to start.
I think it's just a general idea that when you're over 50, not only the pool gets a little bit smaller, but and I think especially as it goes towards 60, one of the things I'm noticing is that the number of people online over the age of 60 really drops off. I mean, I don't know if that's because they just aren't computer savvy or they are to the point where they just gave up and they've said, well, you know, I'll just wait until somebody, you know, goes by me and introduces themselves or something like that. And they don't want to put themselves out there any longer. But yeah, there comes a point where the number or the opportunities, even on the dating sites, becomes even smaller. And so that's something for everybody to think about, right? If you're going to do this, do it while you're young and do it while everybody is open to the possibilities of things. Because as you get older, I think both sides get a little more cautious and they aren't willing to settle. And that's what I keep hearing over and over again is I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle. Well, yeah, if that's true, then, you know, you might be waiting a heck of a long time. So you have to decide once again what kind of crazy you can stand, whether it's a guy or a girl, and then, you know, decide if that's something that you want to entertain. But I think that's the best advice is just keep looking, have the things, the filters in place, have your red flags that you know are really good red flags, and then be open to other possibilities.
All right, so we have another rule or lesson, depending on how you take it. But prenups, especially at 50 and over, do they exist? It's the norm? Tell us.
Nope. Matter of fact, in most cases, if somebody would bring that up, that would be a red flag to me. And I know that's probably not the right way to be thinking because, you know, you both probably have assets of some kind. But I don't know. You know, the last lady I was out with had a nice sizable net worth, probably three times mine. And it was not brought up. You know, had talks about, what if we got married and all this other kind of stuff, and it was never brought up.
What we do here is go back.
How to do it. Now Walter gives three top tips to both men and women who are over 50 on your online profile photos.
You know what I love, and it's something I don't think women get told this enough, is I wish I could write a book on what not to do with your profile. Because, and it probably happens on both sides, right? Because I hear all the stories about, the guys holding fish or in the fishing boat or whatever. But women do it too. Two big examples. Number one, they'll have one picture of themselves. It's a face shot. And then all the other pictures, the next 20 shots, are landscapes. The sun rising over the beach, sun rising over the mountains. Here's a wheat field. Here's something else. I can't tell you how many I've seen like that. The other thing is women in groups of women. All right. Number one, I can't tell which one is you. Okay. Right. So unless you put a little note at the bottom that says, hey, I'm the third from the left or something like that, I have no idea which one you are. And the number one thing is, if you are in a picture with somebody that's better looking than you, the guy is going to want the better looking girl. Yeah. Don't put yourself in a picture with somebody that looks better than you.
Right.
Yeah, it's basic advertising. You would never put the competitor beside of your product in the same ad, in a better looking package, right? Because they're always going to pick that package.
Right.
So, same thing holds true for dating. I can't tell you how many pictures I've seen where the other girl is better looking. I'm going, hey, I want to get introduced to your friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I've actually written people, where I was trying to get a date with somebody and they said no, and I'd write it back and go, hey, could you introduce me to that girl that's in picture number two? Because she looks really nice too. Wow. Of course, I never get an answer back, right?
Of course.
Yeah. But, when it comes to the top three things to do or something like that, I always say good pictures, which I probably am guilty of not having. The other thing is to really spend time on thinking about what you want to put in the profile. And I'm the kind of guy that if I see more than three paragraphs, I just forget about it. Be open-minded. There's a lot to this. And so you have to have an open mind and you have to say, I'm on a mission. I have to do this. It's a numbers game. I'm going to have to do 100 dates to find, three people that'll go out with me, longer than the third date.
For women, there's more pressure for us to respond or not when it comes to online dating or those situations where you're like, give me your number and you don't want to. But Walter explains, I guess, his experience around it all.
It's just what you have to put up with. And so, and I'm sure it's the same on the other side too, where the girls are going, how many frogs do I have to kiss? Right. And so I don't think it's any better on the women's side. I think it's worse on the women's side because, whereas nobody writes me on the site, everybody is writing to women. So women are complaining about having 200 emails the first night, they come on a site. Right. And they're going, how can I go through all this? I can't say no to everybody in a nice way. So I just don't respond to them. Well, yeah, I agree. I wouldn't put in that kind of an effort either. Right. Because they're getting all kinds of responses from people. And so I definitely think that women have a worse time on the sites than the men do.
And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show. Remember, we celebrate embarrassment, and I might suggest things that will make you say, girl, Nina.
Damn!
Have you lost your mind? But trust, there's always a reason why I make a suggestion and ask you questions that might push you out of your comfort zone. It's never, ever random. But help me spread the word. Don't forget to share the show with your peeps. Email me a question or personal story at ask@ninababel.com. And that's Nina, babe with an L. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girls Show. Remember, we drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Auto Radio, iHeart Radio, and now Podchaser. Don't forget to review the show in iTunes. I rely on it because it helps me stand out from the crowd, and especially it helps women and even men understand us and themselves better. So I'm working with a new startup called Self Made. Another reason why I've been MIA. They do professional image editing and social media strategy to help people grow on Instagram. And they basically help you make your images look amazing and bring more visibility to your page. So I've just signed up with my new brand at Neba Photos, and I'm really excited about it. They are in a private beta stage, and you know what? They have a wait list too. But they have some spots for friends of friends, and I thought of you guys as my friends of friends. So anyone that I refer to Self-Made will get 25% off. So if you're interested, just let me know and I'll have them reach out to you. Or you could use the link in the show notes to schedule an appointment directly. But I encourage you to check out their website, www.selfmade.co. And there you could get a link to all their information, their portfolio, as well as their price plans. All right, so connect with me on social media. You know I love Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, what's left. And you're going to use the handle at Nina Babel to find me. So I'm over and out. You know how I do. Smooches!